Can you hear me now? All right. And I missed the button there. Maybe I had it on and turned it off. I don't know. But I've enjoyed working with Sarah and Joshua. And a little bit, it does take me back to my childhood in 1983 when my dad started the church. And upstairs in downtown Wills Point, and the three boys and my mom and dad. And I never forget those days, how hard I worked. Shane and Sean did nothing, but man, I worked so hard to try to help get that thing off the ground. And true story, I will share this true story with you, and maybe you've heard it before. We were living in Grand Prairie at the time, in the hood there where Brother Grice pastors, and that's where we grew up as children, small children. That's where my dad was called to preach. And we were driving from 83 to 84. We were driving for a year back and forth every weekend and every Wednesday night to the church here as it was established. And one Wednesday, there was a little bit of an ice storm. And so my dad was not going to cancel services. He was trying to get that thing off the ground. And so he left Shane and I with my mom back at the house, but he took Sean with him to church. Sean was like 5 years old at the time. And he took Sean with him. And my dad began to preach. Sean was the only one that showed up. And my dad would preach faithfully no matter who was there. And so he preached. And of course, we all realized these 40 years later, Sean needed the preaching, but he began to preach, and he said, "I'm just preaching up a storm, and God's all over it." And I look out on the front row, and Sean is sound asleep in his seat on the front row. And so maybe that's what's wrong with my little brother today. I don't know. Well, I understand, I know from talking to him after services that Brother Swanky was watching our service this morning. Kind of made me nervous. I'm glad I didn't know that ahead of time. There are a few men that make me really nervous when they are in my presence when I preach. He is one of them. But boy, I wish I would have known that in one sense. We could have had a good time with Brother Swanky this morning if we had known that he was tuning in. We could have really had some fun with that. And so we can't do it tonight. That was just this morning. But Philippians chapter number 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 19. Verse number 19, and we're going to read through the remainder of the chapter here. The Bible says in Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 19, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evil token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me." Look back at verse number 19. We'll take that as our text verse tonight. In verse number 19, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." And as I mentioned this morning in the message, or at the end of the message, that phrase, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, it's the only place that it's mentioned in the Bible. And it just really caught my eye and got me to thinking about what it is that the Holy Spirit supplies. And so that's what I want to preach on tonight, what the Spirit of God supplies. Let's pray. Lord, would you meet with us tonight? Help us, Lord, to get this truth from your word and then see what we can do as a result of this great truth. Challenge our hearts tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we saw in this morning's text, in case you weren't with us, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter while in prison in Rome. He was in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all he did. And they threw him in jail. Look at verse number 13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds. So he was in bondage, he was in bonds, he was in shackles and chains, he was in prison. So you could say that the Apostle Paul was sheltering in place. Now, as this virus that we're seeing today progresses, I know that many of us are getting kind of stir crazy. Even those of us that still go out and go to our jobs, we're still limited as to kind of the things we can do, the places that we can go during the day. You can't go to a restaurant and sit and fellowship with your family. You can't take your kids to the park. I guess you could, but you have to stay distance apart. I don't know why any parent would want to do that right now and have their kids on playgrounds and touching what other kids touch. You really can't do much of anything right now, so you just kind of have to endure, you know, being by yourself. I know that even some of our older folks in our church are having to stay as close to home as possible, just to be extra cautious about your health. And I think that's a smart move to do that at this point, at this moment, as we work our way through this coronavirus epidemic. Now, maybe you're feeling alone in the world right now. You've just been sitting there for a week or so, and it's maybe just you and your kids, and maybe the husband's off to work, or maybe you've been laid off of your job already, and it's just kind of getting to be a lonely place. You're kind of getting bored, and maybe you're looking for answers of some sort. Maybe you have some decisions that need to be made, whether it's about this issue or something else in your life, but you've really been praying about some things, and you have some decisions that need to be made, and you don't really know how to make those decisions. Well, here in Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is he's locked down again. For the most part, he's alone. The social media of his day was writing letters. So that's what he did. He couldn't get out. He couldn't get out and go to church, certainly. But I want you to notice there in Philippians chapter number 1, I want you to notice what sustained him during this lonely time in his life. In verse 19 again, he said, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation." Now, he wasn't talking about salvation in the sense of being born again. The word salvation means deliverance there. And I think I mentioned that this morning when I gave you kind of a preview of tonight's message. But he was saying, I know that I'm going to be delivered from this prison that I'm in right now. I believe by faith he believed he was going to walk out of there and continue to preach the gospel. But I know also that he realized that one way to get out was going to be by death. And he told him later that for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And we'll see that in a few moments. But so he had a positive attitude. He had a right spirit, as we talked about this morning. He said, "I know that this shall turn to my salvation." And now here's what he says got him through this time. Here's what he said sustained him during this lonely time in his life. He says, "Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." He said, first of all, he said, the prayer of fellow Christians. And I hope as a church that we're all praying for one another. I hope that you either have a phone list or you have a friends list, or you have a even a Facebook friends list, or the contacts on your phone, or just people that come to your mind. And I hope that you'll pray for one another. I don't want to see one of our old folks get sick with this virus. There have been old people die. There have been people my age die. There have been babies now that have died of this coronavirus. So the Bible says in the book of James that we're to pray for one another that we might be healed. And I hope that you will pray for one another on a daily basis. And we pray for you, and I hope that you'll pray for us also. But he said the prayer, knowing that you're praying for me to the church at Philippi, he said, hey, that's getting me through these lonely times. But he said, I tell you what else gets me through these times where I'm alone and I don't really know what tomorrow's going to hold. He said, that is the supply of the Holy Spirit. So even while alone, Paul knew that what the Holy Spirit supplied, that would sustain him. And so I thought about what the Bible says about what the Spirit of God supplies. And I want to share several thoughts with you tonight about what the Holy Spirit supplies. Keep your place there. We're going to come back there at the end of the message. But I want you to see what the Spirit of God supplies. So turn to Ephesians chapter number 2. You're in Philippians. Ephesians, the book right before it. So Ephesians chapter number 2. Let me say this. First of all, the Holy Spirit of God supplies life. He supplies life. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You and I were born alive physically, but we were born dead spiritually. And but the moment, and our spirit is what communes with God. Our spirit is what fellowships with God. And so the moment that you and I got born again, the Spirit of God came to dwell within us, and the Spirit of God made alive our spirit, and that's why now we have a desire to fellowship with God. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said that it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The good news about him supplying life, certainly the fact that we have eternal life, certainly the fact that we have that life that Jesus talked about in John 10:10, where he said, I'm come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Certainly that life that is Christ is that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the Spirit of God spoke to our heart and told us that what the Bible said was true. And he brought those things into our life. The good news is about him supplying life, that means that he came also to dwell within us. It means that no matter where we are in life, we are never alone. We're never alone. You may feel alone. Maybe your spouse doesn't understand you. You may feel alone. Maybe your children don't understand you, or your parents don't understand you. Some of you have been sent home from grade school. Some of you have been sent home from colleges. Some of you have been sent home from work, or maybe a place where you got together with your friends and you feel alone. And it's wonderful. Paul said, you know what got me by? It wasn't having more friends on Facebook. It wasn't sharing a bunch of selfies. It was knowing the Spirit of God dwells within me, and I'm never alone. Listen to what the Bible says in John 14 and verse 16. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And I love John 14 and verse number 18. Jesus said this. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Friend, today, if you're a born-again Christian, you have God dwelling within you in the person of the Holy Spirit. You have the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling within you in the person of the Holy Spirit, and you are not alone. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse number 9, but you're none in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Paul told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, know you're not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus, at the church of Ephesus, and he reminded them they're not alone, that Holy Spirit supplied life to them and came to indwell them forever. He said in Ephesians 2:22, in whom ye also are built together together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You are not alone. That's good news while we're sitting at home alone and while the fellowship is shut down. It's good to know that we are not alone in this world. Listen to what the Bible also says about the Spirit of God dwelling within us. 1 John 3 and verse number 24 says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." 1 John 4:13 says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." The Apostle Paul said, "Hey, I'm alone." The Apostle Paul said, "I don't know what tomorrow holds," but he said, "I tell you what's getting me by is knowing that we're praying for one another, the prayer of the saints of God." And he said, "Also, I tell you what gets me by is that which the Spirit supplies." He supplies life, number one. Can I say secondly tonight, what the Holy Spirit supplies is he supplies liberty. He supplies liberty. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17, "Now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." I'm glad to tell you tonight that we have freedom, first of all, from sin's penalty. The Bible says that those that are without Christ in this world are already under sin's condemnation. You're already living on death row. You're just waiting for that time when you die and split hell wide open. And friend, you don't have to, because the Spirit of God supplies liberty to the born again Christian. He gives us freedom from sin's penalty. You don't have to die and go to hell. In fact, you can know today that you're saved. You can know today that you're not condemned. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse number 1, "Therefore being justified by faith," Romans 5 1 says, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." But Romans 8 1 says, I'll get it together in a moment, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." The Holy Spirit of God supplies life. The Holy Spirit of God supplies liberty. That is freedom. That is freedom from sin's penalty. That is also freedom from sin's power. No child of God can say, "I just can't help it." That's contrary to Scripture. Romans 6 says this in verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof." Let not means I have a choice. If I sin, it is my choice. It's not that I just couldn't help it. Hey, I've got the Spirit of God in me. He's given me liberty from sin. "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Doesn't mean we're not going to sin. The Bible says in 1 John 1, "If we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us." We are going to sin. What I'm saying to you tonight is, though, when we do sin as a child of God, we cannot use the excuse, "Well, I just can't help it. I just tell lies." No, you can help it. Why? Because it's that which the Holy Spirit supplies. He supplies liberty, freedom from sin's penalty, freedom from sin's power, and then also freedom to please Christ in all that we do. The Apostle Paul said, "You know, maybe it's not the most convenient thing to be locked up here. Maybe it's not what I would desire. But," he says, "I can make it through this time." And Christian, you can make it through these days by the prayer of the saints of God and also by that which the Holy Spirit supplies. Number three, he said this, or the Bible tells us this, what the Holy Spirit of God supplies. Number three, he supplies learning. He supplies learning. Now, this is important. I want you to turn to John chapter number 16. This is so important. You see, where the Catholic Church errs is that they don't challenge their people to read the Word of God on their own. in the dark ages, folks began to not have any education, and they could not read, and the Catholic Church was not using the language, the Latin language of the people, and so folks just began to go along with whatever they said, and the Catholic Church began to teach all kinds of heresy straight out of hell, like baptismal regeneration and infant baptism and Mariolatry and worshiping Mary and all of that junk. And friend, listen, a Bible-believing church will not only preach the Bible, but they will challenge you to get in the Bible on your own and study the Word of God for yourself. Now, here's the thing. This online preaching stuff is helpful, but if the internet crashed today, you've got the Holy Spirit and you've got God's Word, and you can learn the Bible on your own with God's help. Now, friend, that's important because this may just be a test. I was reading earlier where the mayor of New York City, de Blasio, I think is his name, de Moron is what his name is, but he came on today and he said, listen, there are some churches still having services. And he said, so I just want to say this, if we find you having services, here's what he said, basically this, he said, we will interrupt your services. The police will come in, they'll tell the folks that are putting the service on that they need to disperse immediately. And if your service continues now or in the future, as long as this sickness is here, we will fine you. And he made this statement, and or permanently shut your building down. Friend, that's where we're living today. That may be where we're headed. You realize we're dependent upon these connections and your phones and the computers and our internet connection here. And all of us realize how overloaded the system has been in the last couple of weeks with folks just being online all of the time. And who's to say that doesn't crash and burn and the screen goes black and you don't hear from your preacher for 2 or 3 weeks. Friend, listen to me. God got all, he had us all set up ahead of time. Paul said, I can make it because of what the Holy Spirit supplies. And Paul didn't have internet access. And Paul didn't have his own personal preacher. And Paul didn't have his own personal Sunday school teacher. Now don't use that as an excuse to be backslidden and lay out of church. We talked about that this morning. God, Christ Jesus died for the church. There's a reason for God's people to get together. But you don't have to wait on a preacher to tell you what to believe. And you don't have to have a Sunday school class to know what you believe. You can get in that book daily. And that which the Spirit of God supplies, He supplies learning. You're in John chapter number 16. I'm not yet, but John chapter number 16. Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit in verse number 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. There are a lot of preachers today that want to speak of themselves. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Look at John chapter 14. If you're in 16, look at John 14. And verse number 23. Isn't it amazing? Before Christ left them face to face, before He left them, went to the cross of Calvary, and a few weeks later ascended back up into heaven. Isn't it amazing how much He had to say about, hey, the Holy Spirit is going to be here for you. That which the Holy Spirit supplies. John 14 and verse number 23. Jesus answered and said unto Him, if a man love Me, he will keep My words, and My Father will love him, and we will come unto Him and make our abode with Him. He that loveth Me not keepeth not My sayings, and the word which ye hear is not Mine, but the Father's which sent Me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now this is important. I want you to look at 1 John chapter number 2. Back at the back of the book, I want you to see this in 1 John chapter number 2. I'm for studying the Bible. The Word of God tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm for discipleship. I'm for helping young Christians grow in the Lord. I'm for preaching the Word of God. But friend, listen, God didn't give you an English Bible so that you could not understand it. God wants you to understand His Word. and you don't have to understand Hebrew and understand Greek. I don't believe we serve that kind of God. I thank God for the books that we can use. Thank God for the studies that we can do. But you don't have to know the etymology of a word to know what God wants from your life. The Spirit of God will teach you what God wants you to know as you read a passage. So look at 1 John chapter number 2. And then we will move on. 1 John chapter number 2. And verse number 26. The Bible says, and we're picking up in the middle of a thought, but 1 John 2 and verse number 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, those that would try to lead you astray, some false teaching. But the anointing which ye have received, that's speaking of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in your life, the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Listen to this. And ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and now as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So we can be alone anywhere in the world. And yet what God's Spirit supplies to the truly born-again child of God will sustain us. I love church. I love getting together with God's people. But your life and your walk with God and your daily walk and your decision making is not totally dependent upon whether or not you can get together with God's people. Aren't you glad we serve a God that is not surprised with what happens in our life? And he says, listen, I'm going to have a bunch of children that are going to pray for one another, and I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to dwell in each one of my children, and you can get by in the deepest, darkest night of your life, in the loneliest time of your life, you can get by on only that which the Holy Spirit supplies. He supplies life. He supplies liberty. He supplies learning. Look at Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. I love this. Hebrews chapter number 3. Let me say, fourthly, he supplies leadership. He supplies leadership. Now, I'm glad that we can have good spiritual counselors in our life, and the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That's wonderful. We ought to get advice from the right people. Just remember, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's one crowd I don't want to hear from, but I need counsel and I need help. But you know, God had that taken care of too. If you're on an island somewhere and you don't have a phone and no computer and no way of getting counsel, he said, guess what? Again, the Spirit of God dwells within you, and he supplies that leadership that you need. In Hebrews chapter 3, the Lord looks back to the time when Israel was coming out of Egypt and going through the wilderness wanderings and headed to the promised land. And he said in Hebrews 3 and verse number 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. He said, listen, if the Spirit of God's trying to lead you, don't harden your heart. Soften up. Be still. Listen to what God has to say. I want you to see this passage, 1 Kings chapter number 19. Look to the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter number 19 with me. And I want to give you a moment to turn there. 1 Kings chapter number 19. Elijah was at a crossroads. Jezebel wanted to have him killed. And so he was down and out. He was depressed. He felt all alone in 1 Kings chapter 19. But the Spirit of God was still there with him and still led him in his decision-making progress. He said in verse number 10, I at the end of that verse, I only am left. He said, I feel like I'm all alone. Look what happened in 1 Kings 19 and verse number 11. And he, God, said to Elijah, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the rocks before the Lord, or rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. And but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. The problem with most of us Christians is we have too much racket in our life. We take a battle, we take a trial, we immediately want to get a vote, take some kind of poll on Facebook to see what all our friends agree with on our emotions and our thinking. And yet what we need to do more than anything is turn off the TV and turn off the phone and get off the internet and get on our face before God, whether it be in our living room or in our office or in our backyard or in our truck, and get alone with God and say, God, I have some decisions to make, and I'm getting all kinds of advice from so many people, but Lord, I need more than anything, I need your leadership. I need the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And there was a lot of racket, a lot of noise around Elijah, but God wasn't in any of that. But when it was over with, he said there was a still, small voice. You say, how is God going to speak to me? Well, he's not going to send you an email. He's not going to call you on the phone. There have been times when God spoke to me about something that it was so clear, it was almost as if it was audible, and it was like it almost that God really just spoke out loud in the room. But it's not going to be a voice that you hear all of a sudden out of the clouds in your backyard. First of all, God's already spoken to us right there in the Bible. Most of us don't have the answers we're looking for because we're not really looking for the answers that God wants to give us, because they're right there in the Bible. But I promise you, if you're living by faith, God will convict your heart. He will guide you. He wants to lead you in the direction you need to go. And so that's what happened here with Elijah in 1 Kings 19 and verse number 15. And the Lord said unto him, go. And then in verse number 19, the Bible says, so he departed. And so the Holy Spirit of God has supplies for us. The fifth one is this. I'll give this to you quickly, and then we'll give you the end thoughts out of Philippians chapter number one. But I want you to know another truth, another thing that the Spirit of God supplies. He supplies love. He supplies love according to the Bible. Listen to what the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. All right, the Spirit of God led to our salvation. But then it says, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That word unto simply means to. So you were saved, and the Spirit of God saved you, and also led you to unfeigned, or not fake, led you to real, genuine, sincere love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. The presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our life provides us with a heart of love for people, listen, that we might not otherwise love. Let me challenge you with this as a church member, Trinity Baptist Church. While you're sitting at home and waiting for the day that we can all get back together again in this auditorium, maybe you could just evaluate your love for others. Let me ask you some questions. Do you come to church with an attitude toward any particular family? Maybe you think they have it made. Maybe you think they're annoying. Maybe you think they beg. Maybe you think their kids are just spoiled. Hey, being pastor, I just want to say to you, it's not everything. It's not always what you think it is, just because you think it is with that little attitude. Are you critical? And by the way, if you're this way at church, you're this way amongst your own family. You're critical. There's always something you're saying about someone, either in your family or someone at church or wherever it may be. Are you negative? Well, I don't see how that's going to work, and I don't see why they're doing that, and why would y'all want to do that, and that's not going to work out. Hey, are you gossipy? Are you one of the ones that, hey, did y'all hear? And I don't know if this is true, but I heard this, and you might watch out for that. Hey, are you mean? Are you one of those that just, you thrive on being mean to little kids, or you thrive on being mean to other ladies in the church or men, or you thrive on being mean to your poor, sweet little preacher? Are you mean? Are you one of those that's a jealous person? Why did they get to and they didn't, and they got asked and they didn't? Are you envious? They have this and I want that. And why can't I have that? And why don't I get to do that? Can I just say to you tonight, why don't you just grow up? Grow up in the Lord and ask the Spirit of God to give you a heart that genuinely loves others before you come back. Look at Philippians again, chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Paul said in verse 19, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Two things that will help us get through this or any other tough time in our life. One is the prayer of God's people. The prayer of God's people. Secondly, is the supply of the Holy Spirit. He supplies or He provides life. He provides liberty. He provides learning. He provides leadership. And I notice also in Scripture that the Spirit of God provides a heart of love for others. You see, you don't always have to have a crowd around. Sometimes it's good for us to just get alone with God. Now I want to take about 5 or 6, 5 or 10 minutes before we leave you tonight. And let me leave you with 5 quick thoughts from our text here in Philippians chapter number 1. Okay? So no matter what I'm going through, I know I can pray and God's people are praying for me. No matter what I'm going through in life, I know the Spirit of God provides my provision, if you will. He supplies me with all that I need to live this life. Now, because the Spirit of God is my supply, there are 5 things that I will do. And I hope you'll make this commitment in your life tonight. I hope you can say this from this passage. Because the Spirit of God is my supply, I will, and I'm going to give you 5 thoughts just briefly here. Look at it there, verse number 19. He said, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." He said, "I'm getting out of here one way or the other." And now verse 20, he's going to tell us how. "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." He said, hey, folks are praying for me. He said, the Spirit of God adequately supplies what I need in my life. And so you know what I'm going to do? Number one, I will keep magnifying Christ. He said, as always, so now also. In the good times, so now also in the bad times. If I live through this, if I die through this, I want Christ to be magnified in my body. Why don't you make that commitment tonight that, hey, I'm not going to magnify myself. I'm not going to be negative about my God. I serve a living Savior. I serve a powerful God. I, no matter what I'm going through, right now or in the future, I want to be like the Apostle Paul, who knew he had the prayer of the saints and knew he had the supply of the Spirit of God. And he just said, you know what? No matter what happens to me, life or death, I will keep magnifying Christ. Number 2, he said this. Look at verse number 21. He said, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." I think every Christian could say that, you know, we ought to be living for Christ, but, you know, if the Lord takes us out of here at whatever age, I mean, it's gain. It's streets of gold. It's the presence of God. It's no more sorrow and pain and health and all of these things. We're home with Christ forever. He said, "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two." He said, I'm kind of being pulled back and forth. And he tells us why, verse 23. "Having desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Here's what Paul said. He said I've always tried to magnify Christ in my life. So I'm going to now, whether it be by life or by death. So he said, I will keep magnifying Christ. And then he said, you know, if I die, it's gain. If I die, it's far better. I get to be with Christ. But I know that I also need to live to help you, and that'd be better for you. So here's what I believe he's saying there. Number 2, he's saying, I will trust Jesus with my life. I will trust Jesus with my life. He said, I can't decide if I want to live or die. I don't know if it's better for me to be in heaven or better for me to be here with you right now. He said, you know what? I'm just going to keep marching on. I'm going to trust Jesus with my life. Number 3 is this. Look at verse number 25. He said, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue. Now, listen, I love this because he didn't say, I'm going to continue and I'm going to continue to be selfish and I'm going to continue to live so I can live my life, carry out all my dreams, do things my way. Look at what he says in verse 25. He said, I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Boy, it's time Christians quit living for self and learn to live for others. And what Paul said there, number three, he said, I will help others all that I can. He said, hey, I've got folks praying for me. I've got the Spirit of God supplying my every need. So I will just keep on magnifying Christ. I don't know if I'm going to live or die through this situation. But he says, I'm just going to keep on trusting Jesus with my life. And he said, hey, if I do get to live, I'm going to live it for other people. Hey, wasn't it the church at Corinth that he said, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. There's no room for selfishness in the Christian life. Selfishness is not a Christ-like attribute. It's not about what you need and who called you and who checked on you and who gave you stuff. Hey, it's all about Christ and it is about others. And Paul said, I will help others all that I can. Number four is this. I said I had five and we'll be done. Number four is this. Look at verse number 27. He says to the Christians here at Philippi, only let your conversation be. Conversation there means the way you talk and the way you walk. Your behavior. Let it be as it becometh. The word becometh or become or becoming is make it attractive. Make it suitable. Make it fit. So he says, let your conversation or your behavior be as it becometh. It's suitable. It's fit. It's attractable to the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Here's what Paul's trying to encourage us to do tonight. Here's number four. I will maintain a good Christian testimony everywhere that I go. I will maintain a good Christian. I know I have folks praying for me. I know the Spirit of God is dwelling within me. I know that He supplies my every need every day. When I wake up on Monday, I'm going to go out and I'm going to keep magnifying Christ. Whether I get the coronavirus or not this week, I will just keep trusting Jesus with my life. Hey, if God lets me live, I will continue to help others all that I can. And as I live my life this week as a Christian, I will maintain a good Christian testimony at the gas station, at the grocery store, wherever I may go. And then the last one is this. Look at verse number 28. Paul is challenging the Christians there at the church at Philippi. It's amazing that a man in jail is trying to encourage those that aren't in jail not to be terrified by their adversaries. He's the one that ought to be afraid. But you know, he's not afraid because he knows the power of prayer and he knows what the Spirit of God supplies. So he's telling them, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evil token of perdition. He says, don't let the adversaries discourage you. That's just a good sign that they're on their way to hell. He says, but to you of salvation, for you to be, have some adversaries is a token. It is a sign of your salvation. And Jesus said that, marvel not if all men hate you. And Paul said, don't let them worry you. Don't let them concern you. Verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. And verse 30 is where I took this thought. This is amazing. Let me give you the thought. I will live today like I want to be remembered tomorrow. I will live today like I want to be remembered tomorrow. I'll give you an illustration, funny little illustration. One time, Brother Greg, Brother Brent, myself were out turkey hunting. I hate snakes, all kinds of snakes. There is not a good snake in the world. They all ought to be dead. You cannot convince me otherwise. We were walking across the grasslands out in Decatur, and I nearly stepped on a long snake. It had to be 20 or 30 feet long, about a foot or two wide. I think it was the first python ever found in the grasslands. And I'm not going to lie to you, I screamed like a girl. That ain't the first time I've done that. That's not the last time I'll do that. Now, here's the thing. About 5 seconds later, you stand there with your buddies or with your family, and you're kind of like, what? I didn't scream. Like, man, we have it on camera. You scream like a little girl. Now, I'll be honest with you. I hate snakes, but I hate being remembered as screaming like a little girl. And if you don't want someone to treat you like the was it the girl or the boy? I don't even remember. But the little kid, the girl that cried wolf. Then why don't you just decide as a Christian, quit living so dramatically? And every time anything comes into your life, oh, we're not going to make it, and oh, no one loves us, and oh, the sky's falling, and oh, we might as well get a divorce, and oh, I'm going to quit my job, and all this. And friend, listen to me. We ought to live today like we want to be remembered tomorrow. Well, that man stood tall in the midst of adversity. That lady pressed on in the midst of adversity, and they kept a cool head, and they kept a calm mind, and they just marched on for Christ. I love this. I love this. Look there again at that verse in verse number 30. Here is Paul sitting in jail. And he's trying to encourage them, hey, press on. Listen to what he says in verse 30. Having the same conflict, I love this, which ye saw in me and now hear to be in me. He said, you're hearing about me sitting in prison in Rome. And he said, but guys, I'm telling you, as I'm sitting in prison in Rome, we can make it. Folks are praying for us. And the Spirit of God is our supply. And he's saying, Christians, hang on. But he's not just saying that in some empty, shallow way, if you will. He's saying, you hear this to be in me, but don't miss that phrase, which ye saw in me. Remember this morning's message when he started the church at Philippi and they threw him in jail in that town, but he still didn't give up. He sang praises to God and he prayed and the whole town was shook up and the jail, the people in jail there, the inmates were saved. Paul had a testimony of faith in God during times of trial, times of trouble. We can make it, Christian. You can make it this week. No matter what you're going through, whether it's the loneliness of this kind of being shut in and kind of shut down, whether it's thinking no one in your life understands what you're going through right now, just remember what Paul said in verse 19. He said, I can make it through your prayer. I know that God's people are praying for me, and I can make it because of the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He provides life. He provides liberty, he provides learning, he provides leadership, and he provides love. Because of what the Spirit of God supplies in my life and in your life, we need to make these commitments. Tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I will keep magnifying Christ. I will trust Jesus with my life. I will help other people all that I can. I will maintain a good Christian testimony everywhere I go. And I'm going to live today like I want people to remember me tomorrow. I've been to a few stores here lately. And they're starting to restock some aisles, but a lot of the aisles are still pretty empty. And I'm glad to know that when I walk down through Walmart or Brookshire's, wherever it may be, and all it is a metal shelf and it's empty, I'm glad that when I come to my Savior in need, I'm glad I don't see a sign that says empty shelf. I'm glad I don't see a sign that I'm limiting one bit of help per family. I'm glad that I serve a Savior who, when I come to that throne room of grace and beg for help, that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. That's why I wanted to sing that song tonight. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Aren't you glad we ever have a Savior that helps us through this time we're living in? And then when this is over with and we look up in 6 months and we're going through a personal battle, and we think no one understands, no one cares, and we don't have any help. Aren't you glad we serve a God that supplies that which the Holy Spirit supplies? And I'm glad to know we have a church family that prays for one another.